You guys are crazy. You got to be tired of me. I'm tired of me right now. All right. Who's got a question? It's a combination of things. I don't know how fast he is yet, and that's one of the last questions he has to answer on his way to wherever he's going to end up in the first round. I think what I see on tape is a tough, instinctive guy, tackles, which I love. I love a corner that will tackle. When you come out of Nick Saban's Alabama program, especially when you're a defensive back, and which Nick takes a big interest in as a former defensive back coach. You're well coached. He understands zone concepts. He plays man-to-man. He presses. He tackles. The only thing I'm not sure of is his long speed, and that's what we're going to get an answer on Tuesday afternoon. Yeah, the question was Tavon Austin, and for me, and you've heard me say 1,000 times probably, fast guys run fast, and when they, it's not a story. So I expected him to run fast, but what it does for him, I think, is this: is the worst case to me, he's a second round pick. Worst case, if you buy into him as a route runner and toughness, and that you can get enough touches every game for him, he might be a first round pick. Because again, the NFL's evolved into more and more of a college look. Spread the field, get the football in playmakers' hands, and that's what he is. He's a playmaker. He's a mismatch. I can only imagine being a nickel or a safety and having to line up across from him in a slot, knowing he runs 4.35, knowing how quick he is. So he's really a difficult matchup, and that's what this league is. So I think all that time does is just endorses exactly what we thought of him on tape.
What do you make of his
I'm sorry? I have no idea at this point, yeah. There's potential stenosis. I'm not a doctor, and the medical reports are what's more important, and teams evaluate them differently. Marcus McNeil had a potential stenosis coming out of Auburn. His career didn't last as long as people would have liked. So I don't know anything about his medical. If you take that off the board, and a month from now we'll have a better idea of what teams think about that. But right now I don't know. So if you take that off the board, I think he's a top 10 pick. He's explosive. He's quick. I love him in a 4-3. But the 3-4 teams like Pittsburgh, for instance, Pittsburgh doesn't care if you're not that tall. You know, Pittsburgh loves – look at Woodley. Look at Harrison. They're not 6'5". Okay, so different 3-4 teams look at that outside linebacker position differently. If you're not tall, if you're not long, you better be explosive. And that's what he is. So I think he's a top 10 pick if you take the medical off the board. You had.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask about Stephen Bailey. He was saying that maybe if you were 2 inches taller, he'd be considered one of the elite receivers.
Stephen Bailey's really a good football player. And again, there's questions about his size. What's he, 192 or 193, I think. How fast is he? He's probably 4.5, whatever he is. What I see is an instinctive, smart receiver that catches the – he's a natural hands catcher. And because Austin and Geno Smith get all the attention, he kind of fell in the background. But if you watch him in the red zone on tape and his understanding and knowledge of route running and defenses, I think he's one of the smarter, more instinctive receivers in this draft. I'd be surprised if he gets out of the third round. The Patterson thing, it, to me, is, again, fast guys run fast, and I knew he was going to run fast. He's a height, weight, speed freak. The question is, for guys that were one-year college guys coming from 2 years of JC, is what's the history on the kid, and you better get to know the kid. That's his deal. Nobody doubts how good he is with the ball in his hands and his developmental upside as a number one receiver. What they've got to figure out is what's his work ethic. Does he love the game? Can we trust the kid? Can we trust him to develop if we draft him high? He's a top 10 guy naturally. I don't expect him to go in the top 10, though. Swope, I'd love to see that. I didn't expect him to run the time he ran. you know, I mentioned on the air, his Alabama game kind of woke me up to him a little bit, and Johnny Football helped that, of course. Got him the ball a lot on a couple secondary scrambles. But Swope ran in the 4-3s. He had 11 catches against Alabama. I got to go back and watch some more tape of him. And that's what I say. When you see a guy who you don't expect to run mid-4-3s, it forces you to go back and watch tape. And that's what I'm going to do is spend some more time trying to figure that kid out.
Is your view on the quarterback change?
What's that? Well, I was stunned that Bray was considered a, quote, throwing or combine quarterback and not one of the primary quarterbacks. From an arm talent perspective, he's special. I mean, he's right up there. His arm strength and arm talent is as good as anybody in this draft. He's another one of those guys where you got to figure the kid out, and there's some negatives about the kid. So every team that's interested in him is going to have to figure him out. Hunter is another gifted kid, long. Question his physicality a little bit. Question the amount of drops he had this year at Tennessee. I think he's a developmental guy, which is, I think, will knock him out of any kind of first-round consideration, at least for me. But I think he's probably a solid second-round guy. I saw everything that I saw on tape about Geno, and that is he flashed everything you want to see in a franchise quarterback on tape during the season. He's got a big arm, good arm. He moves well. He can be accurate. Everything I saw on tape, I saw here today, he's a natural thrower. He doesn't force the ball. He's a very natural thrower. What I go back to is I don't care as much about this. I'm happy he did this because it just shows me he's not afraid. I'm really happy he did this. Cam Newton did it and didn't throw the ball well, and he still was the first pick in the draft, right? So to me, it's more important what you see on tape. And I want to bang the table because I want to like Geno Smith. We interviewed him. I loved what he had to say. But there's just too many inconsistencies on tape for me to say that Kansas City or anybody that high should take him. I think he's more of like a 20 to 32 guy, and I've said that based on watching, I think, six of his games. I'm going to go watch the rest of them, but there's just so many inconsistencies with both Geno Smith and the entire quarterback class that I have trouble banging the table for any of them.
A couple of weeks ago in your marathon call, you linked Rhodes, a defensive back out of Florida State, to the Patriots. Have you seen anything over the last couple of days?
I wasn't trying to link him. I think somebody, it may have been you, I don't know, somebody was trying to steer me that way and say, would he fit? And I was like, yeah. I mean, New England's got corner and safety potential issues that they have to address. And when you look at this kid, he's a big corner that might be a safety. Bill Belichick values versatility. He's a big, strong, tough kid. Like most of the corners in this year's class, I don't know if he's going to run well or not. So Tuesday afternoon is a big deal for a lot of the, quote, top-rated corners because most of them are what college coaches call boundary corners. They play into the boundary. Typically, a boundary corner in college football is speed deficient but smart, tough, and instinctive. So I need to find out, as does the whole league, Banks, the Florida State kid, Trufant. How fast are these guys? We don't know yet.
Is there anyone else who stood out for you from a New England perspective over the last couple of days?
I don't look at it that way yet. To me, I'm looking at the kids, and I'm not trying to fit them to teams. We're not even into free agency yet, so I don't really fit them that way at all at this point. I love Denard today, and just because probably because seeing him play at Michigan, understanding how tough he is, I think he had 723 career rushes, which tells you how tough a kid he is. Okay, he's not a typical quarterback. He's smart. He's tough. He's quick. He ran well. He stepped up at the Senior Bowl and competed when most kids wouldn't, especially with the position change when he had that nerve issue in his arm. So he's a kid I root for, and I thought he came out today, and I was happy he ran a good 40. It looked like he caught the ball pretty well, and that's what you got to figure out. How natural of a catcher is he? Because I think what you want him to be is a slot receiver and a return guy. And if you believe in his ability to catch the football and his work ethic to go out and learn how to run routes, then that'll drive his value. I can't tell that over. I mean, I hardly even saw him at the Senior Bowl because he was hurt. I just thought he looked pretty good today.
What kind of quarterback will
DJ Hayden be? DJ Hayden? I haven't even looked at DJ Hayden. Yeah. The important thing for Armstead is the process, and it's less about running 4-7-1 and more about having a real good week at the East-West game, which he did. He's got a lot of upside. He's raw as can be, And that's why he's not going to see. You're not going to run up and say, I'm taking him in the first round. He's very, very raw. But I think he's got the skill set to be a starting left tackle. So the process is important to him, and he's doing all the right things. I've said several times, if you're a playoff team this year, you're laughing because there's so much depth to this thing that I think if you're drafting 20 to 30, it's not a whole lot different than the fifth or sixth pick. So for me, if you're a playoff team, boy, you're just sitting back going, hey, this is pretty good. And if you're a top 10 team, I mean, look at the difference. It's so stark, the difference between Ryan Grigson in this building a year ago as a first-time GM with a new coach, and he's got RG3 and Luck to choose from. And now in Kansas City, Andy Reid and John Dorsey, new coach, new GM, there's not a quarterback in sight, probably, at that point. So it's a whole different level at the top end and the bottom end here. Yeah. I like him. I think he's probably a best fit as a 5 technique, which is a defensive end in a 3-4. At UCLA on defense, they did a lot of things. They moved him around. He played nose. He played the 3 technique. He played the 5. So I love his versatility. I think from his height, weight perspective, what he is that defensive end in a 3-4. I've got a second-round grade on him. I'm sorry? There's a bunch of guys that are going to have to play. And one of the things about today's defenders, I think, is their versatility. I mean, I could show you my defensive end list, and there's a whole bunch of different, like Margus Hunt. What is he? Is he a 4-3 end or is he a 3-4-5 technique? You can go DeMontre Moore. Is he 3-4 outside linebacker or is he 4-3 base end? What's Mingo going to be? Bjorn Warner, he's the prototype 4-3 defensive end. You can go right down the list and just say, you know, Sharif Floyd, to me, might be the best player, you know, one of the best two or three players in this draft. But where are you going to line them up?
The surgeries for Deion Jordan and D. Milner, is that going to affect their style?
I don't think so, as long as, and again, 32 teams view medical results in 32 different ways. And I think Deion Jordan and Milner held off just so they could compete at the combine. They're going to do everything but the bench, I think. So I respect them for that. And as long as it's the minor surgery that apparently it is, I don't think it's going to affect them at all. Deion Jordan's a guy to me that's had trouble putting and keeping weight on, and part of the problem has been that shoulder. So if you want to like Deion Jordan, and I do, I think Deion Jordan could be an Alden Smith-type defensive player, but he's got to put 20 pounds on. And I think to do that, he's got to get the shoulder right. He's a gifted guy. I don't think he ran as fast as he had hoped to today. Yeah, you put his tape on against Oregon at Tennessee Tech, and you go, wow. You know, I mean, he caught 4 or 5 balls early against a team way better than them, and they double-teamed him the rest of the way. He's got some drops on tape. He's a gifted kid, but your preface to the question is the more important thing is how do you figure – you got to figure the kid out. He's had some significant off-the-field question marks, and that's going to hurt his value. I already thought the gap was closed, to be honest with you. I thought Eric Fisher closed the gap at the Senior Bowl. I loved him on the Michigan State tape before the Senior Bowl, and for me, I don't see a whole lot of difference between Jokel and Fisher. So, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Can he be that number one pick
potential? I just said I don't see a whole lot of difference. So if Jokel's the number one pick, he could be too. The two guards are really special. Two or three defensive tackles. So to me, I've got like 7. If I project a top 10, and not for draft purposes, just the 7 best players I've seen, 4 of them are offensive linemen and 3 of them are defensive linemen. And I know it pisses all of you off because that's not very sexy, but that's the way it is. I think Lane Johnson just kind of jumps off. I mean, are you kidding me? We said on the air today his 40-yard dash time was faster than Anquan Boldin. His vertical – I'm serious, at the combine. His vertical of 34 inches was the same as A.J. Green. Think about this, okay? This is an offensive tackle of 300-plus pounds. He ran faster than Anquan Boldin. He jumped the same as A.J. Green, and his broad jump at 9 feet 10 inches was the same as Stephen Ridley. Think about those three things for a 300-pound offensive tackle, and then put that in perspective with what he can be. And I think what was most important is at the Senior Bowl he had a good, solid week. So if you look at Lane Johnson's tape week one at Oklahoma versus the end of the year, it's very different. And I think this is a guy who sky's the limit. So, again, we're talking offensive tackles and depth, and to me that's where this class is O-line and D-line. Was he as tall? I like him. I think he's a better football player than he is an athlete. You know, he's short and he's probably speed deficient, which is not a good combination. But what I think he is a hell of a football player. I think he's a slot defender, you know, a nickel type guy with return skills, and how he handles not the public meetings, because I would expect him to say all the right things, but how he handles things privately with all the teams and whether they buy into him or not, I think are the most important issues. It's really hard for me to tell the quarterbacks when I'm up there for 7 hours, because a lot of times I'm watching the wideouts and them running routes. The first thing I have to do when I go home next week is sit down and watch the tape of, believe it or not of our broadcast, but the tapes the NFL guys get, because I got to go take a look at that. Quarterback number 14, Sorenston, who I don't know anything about from Utah State, caught my eye a couple times. So I got to go check him out. Sean Renfrey from Duke, who didn't throw today, I think is an underrated quarterback. This is a difficult class to figure it out. It really, really is. Ziggy Ansah. This is an interesting kind of defensive end outside linebacker class, because you're betting on the upside, and Ansah is certainly one of them. Minimal amount of football. Average practice week at the Senior Bowl, which is important to me. It was only average, and then he dominated the game. So I think there are a lot of questions about the guy, but you can't question his movement skills, his size, and his motor. When people try to compare him to JPP, I can take a step back. JPP was a better, and even though he was raw, he was further along. Ziggy Ansah has that kind of ability, but he's even more raw than Ansah. So at what point do you pull the trigger? And a lot of times, good teams, playoff teams get better because guys get pushed down. And then somebody picking in the late 20s says, well, you know, we're pretty good. How about San Francisco? You know, a team like that says, we're pretty good. Maybe we can take the time to develop this kid. So I don't know where he's going to go. I think he's going to go in the first round. And I think he's got phenomenal upside. It's just going to take a little time. I think it's a great safety class, best safety class I've seen in years. Maybe not with a bunch of first-round guys that you're going to run around and say, that's my guy, but depth of the class. And again, offensive line, defensive line, inside linebacker, safety, all the non-sexy positions are pretty deep this year. Vaccaro, to me, is a really good football player on tape. I'd be surprised if he get past the top 15 or so, which is pretty high for a safety. Matt Elam from Florida, another really good football player. I've got him in the second round. And then after that, I've got at least 10 or 12 safeties jumbled together that can, some are only strong, some are free, but some can play both, that I think you can get in the second and third rounds, and but they're all kind of jumbled together right now, and I'm looking forward to watching them run. I'm not a big McDonald guy. I don't like his movement skills as much as a lot of people do. I think he's more of about a fourth round guy. My only issues with Vaccaro is that the way they played him this year is close to the line of scrimmage. And so I can see his quickness, his change, his direction, and his tackling ability, all of which I love. The hard part is to find him covering a deep half or a third, because he didn't do much of that this year. I've had a couple teams tell me I need to go back and watch some of the tape from last year. We played further away from the line of scrimmage to see that. But from what I've heard, that checks out as well. So I anticipate, not to dodge your question, but I kind of anticipate that it'll all check out. And if he's as smart as I heard he is, then yeah, he's a top 15 pick. I thought you were yelling. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Yep. I think the over-unders, too. on the quarterbacks in the first round. I think Smith will be there somewhere, and I think when the and, you know, we're all off Barkley right now because he kind of disappeared this week, but I think when it's all said and done and people go back and watch his junior tape and put him up on the board and see what kind of football mind he has, I think he'll end up somewhere in the first round. And if history tells us anything lately, it's that somebody else is going to rise. And there's at least three teams in the top 10 that we all know about that need a quarterback desperately, with Kansas City, Arizona, and Buffalo. So I think there'll be some activity between 20 and 32 and some of those teams trying to get back up into the first round. And I don't know who the third guy is. Maybe there won't be. But I think right now it's kind of a horse race. Some guys are going to like Glennon because of the big arm. Tyler Wilson, if you watch junior tape, it's good. Landry Jones, if you watch junior tape, it's good. Glennon's got the big arm. So I don't know who the guy's going to be. Last year I knew it was going to be Tannehill, and I told people that he was going to be a top 10 pick right around this time last year because I could see he was going to be a riser. This year I'm not sure who it is. There's just too much inconsistent tape amongst the, quote, top guys. Ryan Nassib is another guy that I think coaches are going to like a lot. Reminds me a little bit of Andy Dalton 2 years ago with the way he approaches the game, and the kid from Michigan State that Washington took last year. Cousins, thank you. I apologize. Those are two kids that kind of rose as coaches got involved with the evaluation process. Yeah, it is. I'm a big believer that exceptional quarterback play on either side of that equation. I'm not ready to say there are any dinosaurs. I'll take Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, any of those guys any day of the week. But I'll also love to have a Kaepernick or a Russell Wilson. And to me, the whole key to the read option, to make it real simple, is you don't need to run read option 20 times a game. Matter of fact, your quarterback probably gets hurt, and that's what all the defensive coordinators talk about. But just the threat of it, you run it 4, 5, 6 times a game, just the threat of it changes the way a defense coordinator calls his game. And there's an advantage to the offense for that. So a guy like Kaepernick, who on a planned quarterback run can beat you, and on a spontaneous quarterback run, like an Aaron Rodgers, can beat you. I'm a fan of all of it, and I think the quarterback option, the zone read, the quarterback can't, I think that's here to stay for a while, no doubt. Yeah, I think the way it rolls out right now is Patterson's a wild card, you know, top 10 talent, but how far is he going to drop with character and those concerns? I don't know the answer to that yet, but I think he's in the first round. We didn't get to see Keenan Allen today. He's a pretty good football player. I said this on the conference call the other day. If you like him, he's Anquan Boldin. If you don't like him, he's speed deficient. You know, and you got to make your choice based on tape. He's a good football player. I think he's a mid to late first round guy. Terrence Williams from Baylor, height, weight, speed, another good football player. Tavon Austin. I think most of the value for the wide receivers in this class is towards the bottom part of the first round and into the second round. Quentin Patton. No, go ahead. I think what it is because he's played so little tackle in his life. You know, 4 years ago, he was a quarterback at Kilgore Junior College. Then he becomes a tight end. Then he becomes a defensive end. Now he finally becomes an offensive tackle. So I think what the important thing to recognize, and I'm not a big, you know, measurables guy, the tape is important to me. So the tape from the beginning of his year at Oklahoma to the end, which I said earlier, got so much better. And I think what augments the argument that he's going to continue to get better is his athletic ability. So you take a guy that went from here to here in 1 year, and then you look at what he did out there, and you go, oh, my goodness, how much upside's there? I mean, there might be some teams that very quietly think that he could become better than those other tackles, Fisher and Jokel, with time because of that athletic ability. So I think he's going to end up somewhere in maybe even the 10 to 15 range in this draft. And I think he's got the ability to be an all-pro left tackle.
The comparison there is Nate Solder. Is he further along maybe as a prospect than Solder was when he came out?
I like him better than Solder at this point, and Solder was a heck of a prospect.
Mike, it's still on early in the evaluation process, and I know you have a lot of talented defensive tackles to sit through.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering if you could comment on coming into this event, why you had the nose tackle Williams from Alabama outside of your top five.
I don't think he belongs in there. I mean, the reality, I watched his tape, and trust me, I'm an Alabama fan, and I love Alabama players because of the way Nick coaches them. You know what you're getting. but I don't think he's got the same movement skills as the guys I have ahead of him. You know, you start talking about three players I think are top 10 players. And Lotolole, to me, is the second or third best defensive tackle in the draft. The kid from Florida, I think Sharif Floyd, is the best defensive tackle prospect in the draft. And Sheldon Richardson's another physical freak from Missouri. So those three guys are potential top 10 picks. Sylvester Williams from North Carolina is better movement skills than Williams at Alabama. And Kawan Short, same thing. So I've got five guys right there that I think have better movement skills than Jesse does. I like Jesse Williams. He's a good football player. I just think these five guys in a league that's a pass-first league, I think they have better movement skills to help pressure the quarterback. Not to me. I don't really care what he runs. I said that on the air yesterday. I knew he wouldn't run well. I knew Jonathan Cooper, the guard from North Carolina, would run much better. You can see it on tape. But when I make the comment that he's the best football player I saw this year, whatever he ran or jumped wasn't going to change that. Especially for a guard. You know, what he does 20 to 40 yards downfield, I don't care about. I do care about his explosion, his short area quickness, his ability to get to the second level, but not what he ran his 40 in. Manti? I mean, you know, I know the kid a little bit, obviously, from doing the Notre Dame games. I know the family a little bit. And I think what I saw yesterday, and I think what resonated was I think he was genuine. I don't think it was scripted. I thought it was genuine. I thought it came from the heart. He obviously wants to move on and get to the football, which I get. He's going to have some embarrassing moments between now and the draft and where teams grill him, and it's going to be tough. But I think he's happy to get that beyond him, and I think when he gets on the field tomorrow, teams are going to be worried about his pass catching, defense against the pass. He had 7 interceptions this year. He dropped about 10 or 12 pounds. As long as he's 4'7", 4'7" underneath that, you know, if anything 4'7" or better would be phenomenal. 4'8" plus is going to be a concern, and in that 4'7" to 4'8" range is going to be kind of like, well, that's what an inside linebacker is expected to run. Thank you. I've Pat, and you know, 21 receptions against A&M, loved them on tape. 6 against the Illinois kid Hawthorne, great tape. Goes to the Senior Bowl. Boy, did he have a good week of practice. I'm trying to remember what he ran out there today. Do you know his number in the 40? 4-5 something. I'm a fan of Quentin Patton. I think he's a second-round wide receiver. I think he gets in and out of his breaks, and I think he could probably play on the outside, and worst case, he's a slot. I've got 3 guys up high, and then inside linebacker, and then a drop off into the 3rd or 4th rounds. So,
linebacker, Oregon.
So I'm gonna.
Kiko Alonso, table 1.
So I'm gonna let Kiko take over in a minute, but at the inside linebacker position, I've got the 3 guys, and you've got to kind of be careful with Ogletree, and you know, he's a top 10 talent physically. But where he is with positive drug tests and DUIs and all the rest of that, you got to figure out. Teo and the LSU kid, Minter, are really good football players and could both fit in towards the end of the 1st round. And then I've got a kind of a significant drop-off, and you get into Reddick, Alonso. Who did you mention?
Also Nico Johnson.
Nico Johnson, who I think is going to run pretty well from Alabama. To me, they're more like 3rd, 4th round guys because, again, the inside linebacker position isn't quite valued as much in the league today. Just give me the names, and I'll tell you what I think. Goodwin does not have big production. It goes back into my category of fast guys run fast, slow guys run slow. It's only a story if one or the other happens. So I knew he was going to run fast. He needs to be a return guy. The production wasn't great. I liked what he did at the Senior Bowl. I thought the Senior Bowl helped him more than this did. Next, who? Swope, that really helped. I said earlier, I got to go back and watch some more tape. I watched him against Alabama, liked him on tape. I thought he was more like a 4-5 kind of guy. So 4-3-5 stunned me. So honestly, like a lot of teams, I'm going to go back and check him out more closely. I like Wheaton, and I was hoping he would run fast. Showed me a lot, both on tape against some of the teams in the Pac-10 that press cover, and also at the Senior Bowl. Thought he played real well both in practice and the game at the Senior Bowl. What's that? Yeah. Yep. Yeah. The McFadden kid had a good week of practice, I thought. Quick feet. Wasn't able to play in a game. I think he pulled a hammy, if I remember correctly. It was a groin. I liked him a lot. I thought he showed what he needed to. I think he's probably plus or minus in that third-round range. Okay, he's not the biggest of corners, and in that plus or minus third-round range, I think, is where he falls. I was a little disappointed in the time Escobar ran, and again, I'm not a big-time guy, but I wanted to kind of check him off. I loved him on tape. I thought he was a 4.6, 4.65 guy on tape. 4.8 to 4.85 wasn't very good for him, and that's where it drives you back to the tape a little bit. And I promise you, he's a gifted kid. Catching the football. He's gifted, special gifted. But 4.8 is going to cause a little bit of a red flag, so a lot of teams are going to want him to run again. They're going to go to campus. They're going to run him. They're going to bring him in. They're going to talk to him. So I like both those kids a lot. I was just a little surprised what Escobar ran. Last question. I don't think there's too many concerns. You know, he's got an injury, wasn't able to work out. He's got great versatility. He's an intelligent kid. I've got him as my number three center, and to be honest with you, he's very similar to my number one center, Travis Frederick. I love his versatility. I think he's a starting center in this league that can be a backup in other positions in the offensive line. So I don't think people are off of him. I think what you're seeing, though, is that he's not as athletic as perhaps some people thought when they were, oh, he was a left tackle. Well, he's a left tackle because he's smart and tough, not because he's gifted and long. So I think he's a starting center in the league, and he's probably going to go in the second round, and if not the second, it'll be a third-round pick. And to me, there's nothing wrong with that. I don't see anything wrong with that at all. Okay? Thanks, guys. Everybody have a great day. Yep.